A new study shows marrying your first cousin is not as bad as it seems.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
A research study done over 7 years by a data scientist at Columbia University shows it is okay to marry your first cousin as long as your children do not also marry their first cousins. It's from Birmingham, Alabama. Big surprise.
Airing every day from noon to three.
The headline's disturbing, but like genetically I thought it kind of made sense. I've always heard that a little bit of inbreeding is good for the bloodlines. I always thought that first cousin was a little bit too close. I thought the sweet spot was second cousin, third cousin type of thing.
Oh, God.
On 1340 WKGN.
Everything's fine in moderation, even inbreeding. You just don't want too much. It's like cauliflower. A little bit's good for you. I can bang my cousin, but my kid can't bang his cousin.
All right, you getting more headlines? Hour 2 headlines brought to you our friends at Iris Networks. Global solutions right around the corner. Move your business forward with a premier fiber network and local business partner. Iris is enhancing the region with the most robust, reliable business communication solutions. They want to help you do business at the speed of light. For more information, you can go to iristransport.com. They're offering our listeners 90 days, no payments on business fiber internet. They are new to the area but have been in business for over 20 years. A Tennessee business connecting Tennessee businesses. IrisTransport.com, 865-448-IRIS. If you want to learn more about their next-generation business phones and unified communications, that means you could take your business number with you and use it through their mobile app or laptop app. Iris Networks, welcome aboard on Fan Run Radio. Hour 2 headlines, Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John. Appreciate hearing about the new sponsor there. Could I suggest a catchphrase? Perhaps for Iris? Tell me if this works. When everything's meant to be broken, I just want you to know who I am. Iris Networks. Huh? Huh? How's that? Huh?
Not terrible.
Everybody get the reference? Everybody got it? Come on. You know it's not bad.
You can redeem yourself from hour one.
Oh, come on.
You can redeem yourself from hour one if you tell me what movie soundtrack that's from. What movie that was written for.
Iris?
Yeah. Oh,
was it one of those 90s, like...
It was from the 90s, yes.
Action kind of doomsday movies?
No.
I'm thinking of Armageddon. That was Aerosmith. Judgment Day?
No. City of Angels.
City of the Angels.
Nicolas Cage and Meg Ryan, I believe, were the actors and actresses in that movie.
Do you know where the City of Angels is?
It's Los Angeles, correct?
Yeah. It's literally what it means.
Yeah. I think Nicolas Cage, spoiler alert, dies in a bicycle crash.
Or maybe turns out I'm not going to watch it.
Maybe she dies in a bicycle crash.
That's a little too graphic for me.
Like just a two-wheel, like a motorcycle or like a, just a normal bicycle?
Just a milk truck just coming down the street in a hurry.
City is a story of Seth, an angel who wanders the L.A. area invisible to humans. As the demise of an individual approaches, he spends time near them and becomes visible while acting as their traveling companion. Oh, yeah, so we know that, like... Is there a bicycle crash? Did I make this up? He falls in love with Meg Ryan and then inspires him to forego his immortality and exist on Earth with her as a feeling of immortal entity. Did somebody die? You give me headlines and I'm going to find out what happened in this movie.
All right. Michael Jordan.
Heard of him,
Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. Doesn't work the same, does it?
No.
Michael Jordan has joined the
one of the three best basketball players of all time. Somewhere behind LeBron and Kareem, but he's there.
Come on. He's the GOAT. Six rings, bro. Michael Jordan has joined
Robert Horry has seven.
Who's that?
Robert Horry has seven.
He's not the GOAT. Michael Jordan has joined the chorus of athletes, coaches, and executives expressing their grief and outrage over the death of George Floyd. Jordan said, "I'm deeply saddened, truly pained, and plain angry Sunday. I stand with those who are calling out the ingrained racism and violence toward people of color in our country. We've had enough." So that was Michael Jordan's statement.
I mean, just good for you, Michael Jordan, I guess. Like, this guy's, I'm so sick of Michael Jordan.
We know, we get it. You don't like MJ.
Just weeks ago in his infomercial, he was talking about how he doesn't have to make statements. He doesn't believe in making statements. So why are we making statements now, bro?
We get it. You don't like the
GOAT. I mean, why is he making statements now?
You don't like the
GOAT. He didn't want to make statements. That's not how he is.
You're more of a sheep guy than a GOAT.
Did he not say that in his little infomercial? Am I making that up? Was that not his quote? That he didn't need to do that?
Well, this is a little bit different, I think. That was at the peak of his career, and it was more political, more of a political situation. And
I don't know if you realize, but this has become political now.
He wanted Republicans to buy his sneakers.
I don't know if you're aware, but this whole thing has become political now. Well, why is Michael Jordan speaking out now?
The Republicans have already bought his sneakers. I mean, he's already made the money on the sneakers, so now he can kind of. Now I think he can say more because he's not as worried about making money now, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, makes sense. I guess the Republicans will have to sell the Michael Jordan sneakers. The Major League Baseball Players Association.
Okay, so he gives up his immortality. He's then penniless and naive. He cannot pay for his journey, and he gets mugged. The Angel does. He eventually hitches a ride to Lake Tahoe and appears soaked and cold at Maggie's doorstep. That's Meg Ryan.
Is this a true story?
No. Maggie realizes that he has given up his angelic status for her love, and they have sex.
Nice.
The next morning, as Seth is in the shower.
So that's what it takes.
The next morning, as Seth is in the shower, Maggie rides her bicycle to a local store. On her way back, happy and fulfilled, she rides her bicycle with her eyes closed and her arms wide open. I remember that vividly from being a kid, and her
like
happiness,
Rose on the Titanic.
Her happiness is cut when she fails to notice a logging truck was backing up in her path.
It's not
supposed to be funny, Cam. And she is fatally injured.
That's a goofy image.
And she is fatally injured in the collision.
Boom!
I'm so in love. Bang.
It's not supposed to be funny. It's not supposed to be.
Oh, Mother Nature strikes again.
That's one hell of a splinter.
Yeah. Okay. Right through the nose. Just a big wood chip right through the nose. A little tree bark in your ear. That's funny. So it's not a comedy?
No. It was supposed to be a serious, sad movie that. It is. It's a. Look, I mean, like, it has mixed reviews, apparently. The critics were a little split on it. But I remember it 22 years later. It made an impression on me.
I bet it did.
I was a big Nicolas Cage fan.
Nicolas Cage was the angel?
Yeah. Okay. I was a big Nicolas Cage fan back then. Face Off. Love Face Off.
Should have named that one Face Off.
Getting more headlines.
Louis Vuitton artistic director Virgil Abloh is under fire after he donated $50 to a protester's bail fund.
Who?
Louis Vuitton artistic director Virgil Abloh. Apparently, he was bragging about his donation. And he's the CEO of Off-White. Have you heard of Off-White?
No.
Well, it's a company, and he's involved with Louis Vuitton. Point is, he's worth a lot of money. And he screenshotted his $50 donation to protesters that need bail money. And people are very upset as they believe he did it for clout. And he spent a mere $50, and the guy's a multimillionaire. So he's under fire for that.
Well, I saw they tried to do that to Seth Rogen as well. Because Seth Rogen had, you know, there was a thing where they were trying to get a chain going of like, hey, we'll match donations. And Seth Rogen had said matched. And like people were trying to then diminish his donation as well, saying you gave $50. And then he had to go back later and be like, no, I gave $50 plus a lot more. Like, I feel like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't in that situation. If you're a celebrity trying to give money, like if Seth Rogen gives $50, he is just giving $50. If he brags, I gave $1 million or $500,000 or however many, they'll be like, oh, you're bragging about how much money you gave. You're doing it for clout too. So like, it's a kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation.
I think if you post publicly about it, it's got to be a lot more than $50, though.
Well, he did. I mean, he said he gave more. He didn't show his actual number. He just said much more.
Oh. Yeah.
When people started hating, he's like, I gave that plus much more. Like,
Feel like if you're a celebrity, it's got to be at least $10,000. Feel like that's the bare minimum if you're a celebrity.
I know a lot of people don't like Chrissy Teigen, and I go back and forth on her too, but she had posted she was giving $100,000, and then someone got mad at her for that. So she said, basically, like, you're giving $100,000 to, you know, criminals and all that. And she said, you're right, better make it $200,000. I thought that was a nice flex.
Oh, my.
Seth Rogen just didn't release his number.
Yeah.
You got any more headlines?
Yeah, did you see John Jones out there protecting the city?
John Jones and J.R. Smith. I mean,
J.R. Smith beat the hell out of a guy.
J.R. Smith beat the hell out of a guy who had broken his windows. And he was like, he wanted to get out ahead of it. He was like, hey, in case you guys see this video, this was not a hate crime. This was not me just beating up a random white guy. This punk had broken my truck windows, and I chased him down and beat him up. This was not because he is white. This is not because of anything other than him breaking my window. And that's not right. So I chased him down, and I beat him down. John Jones, he didn't beat anybody up, right? He just chased him down.
He demanded a guy to hand over his...
He basically like went and confronted two people that were tagging and spray painting things, right?
Yeah.
And was like, hey, give me these.
Hand me that paint can.
And if John Jones tells you that, you're like, okay, yes, sir.
All right, here it is.
John Jones going to beat people down would have been a lot scarier than J.R. Smith, but still.
You think you could beat up John Jones if he went blind?
No.
If he went blind?
No. No.
You like spray paint him in the eyes so he can't see?
No, I still don't. No, I still don't think I could.
If he's blind, I could take him.
Have you ever seen Book of Eli, bro?
He doesn't have his senses
like that.
Is
that a true story?
He's blind for the first time in that moment. He doesn't know how to respond to it.
What are you going to do to him, Cam?
Hit him when he can't hit me.
What are you going to do? Hit him? You don't think he can take a punch from you?
Oh, certainly.
I'm not just going to hit him with one punch.
What do you think?
I could take him down eventually.
You're going to take him down?
Yeah, if he's blind. Yeah. Absolutely.
What are you going to do when he gets a hold of you, Cam?
I'm not going to let that happen.
Oh, you're going to stop him. So
he can't see me.
To me, it was crazy enough that you were acting like you could beat Ronda Rousey up, but now we have graduated to you beating up John Jones.
Blind John
Jones. The baddest man on the
planet. It doesn't matter. John Jones.
John Jones with a cane.
A guy who, no offense to you, Cam, this is not a joke. I don't think you could hit him in the chin, really. Like, he's pretty tall. I don't know if you could get him to get, like, an actual shot in on his face. Isn't he, like, 6'4", 6'5"? That would
probably
be pretty tough.
Yeah.
He's
got the reach advantage.
You could get a couple of...
I don't know how tall he is, but I thought he was 6'4". Maybe he's a little bit shorter than that.
You could get a couple of hits in, but then once he realized something...
With him being blind, he's very disoriented.
The moment you hit him, he is going to get a hold of you.
Yeah, and once he gets his hands on you, it's probably going to be...
You think I'm going to be an idiot and hit him from the front? No way.
Just hit him in the back of the head and run back and then go do
it
again.
Yeah, exactly. That's all you got to do. There's a strategy.
If he ever gets his hands on you, though.
Have you ever seen... Look, I've been watching the UFC, so I feel like I'm kind of an expert at this now. Have you ever seen the spinning back fist? Because I imagine he's going to spin in circles with the back fist, and he is going to kill you with either his elbow or his fist.
But he's expecting somebody taller, so he'll miss.
What about one of those MMA guys? Or like
John Jones is MMA guy.
Well, I mean, not the MMA guy. I mean, like, the Asian. Like,
have you ever seen a roundhouse kick? Have you ever seen the roundhouse kicks? Those have a good wide radius. You are not going... This is the dumbest thing you've ever said. This is the dumbest thing you've ever said.
You obviously haven't fought a blind person before.
You've never seen Book of Eli or John Jones fight.
All right, how about this? Would you take Bruce Lee in his current state or blind John Jones?
Isn't Bruce Lee dead?
Blind.
Yeah, he died in 1973.
Yeah, so I could beat Bruce Lee up now, yes.
I don't know about that.
All right,
that
Bruce
one.
Lee in his prime or blind John Jones?
Blind.
The guy from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood kicked Bruce Lee's ass. I'll take John Jones.
Okay, Brad Pitt or John Jones?
I mean, we're saying blind John Jones?
Yeah. Blind John Jones, Bruce Lee in his prime.
I still think he would be able to get his hands on Bruce Lee.
I think
he'd choke him out.
I think he'd take Bruce Lee over the blind John Jones.
Maybe, but again, yeah. I think you're underestimating the spinning fist. The back fist that they don't even need to see to hit.
I think you're overestimating blindness. Or under... I don't know.
I'm underestimating blindness.
Underestimating blindness.
Do you ever, like, I don't know if this is something normal people do, but sometimes I pretend I'm blind. Like, I'll wake up in the middle of the night, like, to...
I can't see.
I'll, like, leave my room to go get a drink out of the fridge, and I close my eyes. This is so stupid. But I close my eyes and try to make it all the way to the refrigerator in the kitchen, just touching the walls and stuff.
How's that
to
work
get
for
my
you?
Drink and then walk back to my room. and try to remember the path.
I never do that because I'm not a weirdo, but there are...
It is pretty weird.
Usually when I am in the dark, I don't turn on the lights if I'm in familiarities. I just go in the darkness.
Yeah.
So sort of similar, but...
Kind of similar. You know, you're trying to reach, like, I know I got a bar stool right here. I got a table chair right here. Here's the light switch.
Yeah.
It's just like a thing you practice. You've never done that? Like, I try to think to myself, like, what if I was blind someday?
I've done it before, like, when...
Yeah. You know. And I'm like, how could I handle it? So you try to put yourself in those shoes for, like, 5 minutes. You never did that?
Well, I was just trying to see if I had, like, extra senses. I've done that before. You know,
yeah.
Where, like, your senses enhance when you're blind.
Yeah.
Supposedly. You think you just close your eyes and your senses enhance?
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for John Jones. He's
John
in trouble.
John Jones is going to whip your ass.
He's not. All right. We need the blind John Jones and set this up.
This is like you saying you could beat Rick in a race all over again, except way worse.
I can beat Rick.
You're getting very close to just being wildly overestimating his ability, guy.
Hot take Cam.
You're getting very close to that. I'm sorry for the low blow about Rick. But he beat you twice.
Rick was a world-class sprinter.
You got any more headlines are over. Stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio. The MLB Players Association has, I guess, given a counter to the owners. They want a return to play proposal that includes 114 games, not 81. They want 114 games, which would obviously lead to more money for the players, more money for the owners. And in addition to the 114 games, they want deferred salaries in the event of a canceled postseason and the option for all players to opt out of a potential 2020 season due to the coronavirus
concerns.
What was that?
I was just reading word for word what you were reading. I figured out where you were getting it.
Yes, this comes from ESPN's news about the proposal of the 114-game season. This is not a report from me. This is from ESPN.
Yeah, I know. It was just funny because I was happened to be reading along as soon as you – I was reading the exact same thing you were saying.
Yeah.
Wonder if the owners will play ball on this deal.
Well, I don't know because I feel like you had a pretty big voice in baseball, Buster Olney. Rod a pretty scathing, by his standards, takedown on ESPN about all of the bad moves that the owners have done right now. Like, they should be losing the PR battle. I wonder where fans are right now. Cody, you've already made your take clear. You are in favor of the players.
I certainly am, John.
Cam, as a non-baseball fan, are you in favor of the players or the owners in terms of getting this season on track?
Owners, if it means less games, I don't really want 114 baseball games.
Okay, fair enough.
That seems like a lot. That seems like it will be going forever. I can take baseball in small doses, but like, yeah, there's no way I'd want to have
to
deal with
you
that.
Don't care either way. You're not on anybody's side. You just it's
yeah, I think they get paid too much and they play too much, so I'm
okay,
out.
Just cut your mic off for this.
Does second. Seem like the owners are a little.
That's on me. I shouldn't have asked
Cam about baseball.
Yeah, just cut your mic off, Cam.
Seems to me like the owners are a little bit ahead in the count when it comes to the negotiations, though.
Yeah.
So
you think the owners are winning right now?
I think they're a little bit ahead in the count. That's all I'm saying.
So that would imply you think that they are
I don't think
in an advantage right now?
Yeah, I don't think we've struck out on a deal. I just think that where we're at right now, you know, the players, this news coming out about the players is more of a, what would you call it, kind of a base hit compared to the total negotiations. They need to get closer to the same page. That's basically what I'm saying.
I'm not sure if I understand the base hit. The base hit one.
Well, this is essentially it's a base hit, so it's on the right track toward hopefully getting a deal done. But you still don't have a run. You know, you still haven't scored a run here.
So the 114 game proposal is a base hit.
I think so. Yeah.
Have we seen the owners that the owners like it? Because I don't feel like it's. We don't know if it's progress because we don't know if the owners like it. Like I don't know if this is any closer or not. Like I don't know how the owners are going to feel about the whole canceling the post, or they want deferred money in case the playoffs don't happen. They want to be able to opt out of the season if they want. I don't know how the owners feel about this, so I don't know if I would be willing to call it a base hit just yet.
It's kind of a wait and see mentality right now.
Yeah. You got any more baseball terms?
Let's just keep talking about it, and we'll see if any more come.
I thought you were going to go with in a pickle. Do you know what that means, to be in a pickle?
Is that a baseball term?
Yeah.
I mean, I've always heard it. I didn't know it was a baseball term, though.
Okay.
I know in the hole.
What is in the hole?
When the batter follows the on-deck batter.
Okay.
The batter who follows the on-deck batter.
Yeah. Two batters. Exactly.
Smith is up at the plate, and Johnson's in the hole.
No. 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 That's not what it would be.
Okay, here's what it is. Smith's up at the plate, Johnson's on deck,
yeah.
And Reynolds is in the hole.
Correct. That would be it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My bad. I knew that. I just skipped a guy. Skipped
the on deck. I don't know if you knew it, 'cause I feel like you Googled these, but you worked your way there. Does your Google not have in a pickle? Does it not have what that means?
I don't know. I don't know. You threw me a line drive with the in the pickle reference, and I haven't been able to catch it yet, but just, you're the lead runner here, so please continue the segment.
This could get ugly. Like, as Buster Olney wrote, and like I said, he is one of the go-to voices in baseball. He says this is something that, you know, we are not worried just about the 2020 season. This could carry over into 2021 because it's obvious that the owners and the Players Association and the players are pretty far off on what they think. And I haven't seen this point made, but I feel like this has been brewing for a couple years. Like, do you remember 2 years ago when you had Bryce Harper and who was the other guy? Bryce Harper and third baseman, shortstop.
You're talking about the guy that made big money?
Yeah, he ended up with the Padres.
Manny Machado,
good job by you. When Manny Machado and Bryce Harper were free agents, like, I don't know if you remember how that free agency went, but neither one of those guys and none of the other free agents, like, got a deal for, like, 2 months. It was just a whole big wait-and-see thing. Like, the owners basically squeezed all the free agents to the point where all the players were rebelling. Do you remember that? Like, the players were all mad that they weren't getting offers. And the owners had kind of, it almost seemed like collusion. They had got together to be like, hey, we're not going to give these big-ass contracts anymore. And even if we do give them to these two players, like, everyone else is going to have to suffer because of it. Everyone else is getting, like, one-year deals. So this standoff has been brewing for a while between the owners and the players. The fractures, this comes from Buster Olney. I don't know if you're on this article or not. The fractures between the lead negotiating groups led by Commissioner Rob Manfred and Union Chief Tony Clark have developed into a, quote, gaping chasm of suspicion and frustration.
A gaping chasm, huh?
Yeah. That
sounds oddly dangerous.
It seems like they are worlds apart. It seems like they are standing on the opposite sides of the Grand Canyon right now, is the way that makes it seem.
Yeah.
Sources say there is a group of owners perfectly willing to shut down the season to slash payroll costs and reduce losses. Pirates owner Bob Nutting used the shutdown as an avenue to suspend team contributions to employees' 401k plans. Basically, that just resulted in tens of thousands of dollars of savings whenever they need to be making, you know, millions. The Oakland Athletics' John Fisher decided to eliminate the $400 weekly salaries of minor leaguers. Which he's in trouble losing his whole team if he can't afford that. Like, he might end up losing the team over this.
I believe you'd call that an error.
On the other hand, you do have teams like the Tigers, Padres, and Royals who are deciding to pay the minor leaguers. Which, I mean, that's nice and all to pay the minor leaguers. I mean, $400, I believe a week isn't that drastic for these billionaire owners. It's been really weird to see. Like, you saw it in the NBA when this first happened, when you had Zion and a couple other NBA players. Like, hey, don't worry, workers of the arena. We will take care of you and your family with some salaries because you guys mean a lot to us, the security of the arena. We appreciate you guys. We'll pay for it. Nice of the, you know, the players making a lot of money, but the owners were nowhere to be found. Same as, you know, you had David Price last week saying, I'll pay the Dodgers minor league people. I got that. Don't worry. And then yesterday you had the Washington Nationals come out as a team and say, we're going to all pull money together and we'll take care of it. Because we've all been minor leaguers before, and we realize the minor leaguers are a big part of this team. Because you'll always have guys get called up. Like, the minor leaguers, it's weird that baseball would want to piss those guys off, but they have power over them for a long time, the owners do. Like, if you're a minor leaguer, you're pretty much under control for, what, 6 or 7 years? Yeah. Something like that in terms of your salary. It takes you a while before you can get the big, big bucks. But you see the other players saying, we've all been minor leaguers, we have empathy, we know what it's like, and we know that at some point, if we're going to be a successful team, and the Nationals want to be a successful team, they just won a World Series, they want to continue to be good, they realize that at some point they're going to have to rely on some AA players that come up. Some call-ups that will either have to fill in for injured players or are just ready to take that step to fill some holes that they lost in free agency, and they're saying, hey, we got your back. So when you just look at it that way, yeah, the owners are losing the PR battle, or should be losing the PR battle so far.
That's kind of like the owners who wouldn't pay the employees of the NBA arenas. Like Zion Williamson had to come out and say basically he would pay those people. It's kind of a similar thing with these minor league and major league players.
Is it?
I think it's kind of similar, yeah.
Why didn't I think of that?
It just shows the owner's greed.
Yeah, why didn't I think of that, as I just said that 3 minutes ago?
Yeah, I heard you say it. I was just kind of expanding on it there.
Well, expand.
In my own words.
Expand, because so far you've used just my words and have said the same thing.
That's not
if you're going
really...
to expand, let's expand a little bit.
Well, no, I was just trying to kind of build on what you said.
Yes,
there.
So build on it and not just repeat.
Kind of build it. Well,
you're hitting copy and paste so far. Add some letters.
My building was to say that I think the owners are full of greed, and that the greed is fully on display in today's society, in today's world. And it's a shame that the players are the ones that have to carry that burden. Even the ones worth a lot of money, they're still not billionaires, you know? So I think that's a real shame. I think greed is a bad thing in general. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm not a fan of it. Yeah.
Baseball has been working to get back on track since 94, 95. And right now, they are the only professional sports league that looks kind of lost. I mean, I saw over the weekend that the Major League Soccer, MLS, that they're in a weird spot right now where they're saying, hey, we're not reporting down to Orlando to do anything until we have a new CBA. They want to use this as an opportunity to get some things fixed. So maybe the MLS won't necessarily run on time. I don't know, but we don't consider them a major sport.
The MLS?
Yeah. Like, MLS ranks behind, college basketball, college football.
NASCAR.
NASCAR. I mean, it does rank behind NASCAR in terms of viewership. I mean, yeah, that's... So, I mean, it's 8th, 9th on the pecking order.
Golf.
Behind golf. I mean, yeah.
World Tennis Federation.
I would rather watch tennis than MLS. I mean, I might be alone in that. I don't know. I like soccer. I like watching the Premier League. I like watching the Champions League.
The professionals. The guys overseas.
The actual, elite talent. Yeah, the MLS is considered professionals, but yeah, they are not elite. But, the MLS, I don't watch. So they're not really high on my radar right now. Baseball is still thought of as one of the four main professional sports. One of the five main professional sports, if you take in the English Premier League, because a lot of Americans do watch that now.
Yeah, soccer is probably approaching baseball. It's not at the point where it would pass baseball, but it's probably past hockey.
It's a conversation.
In terms of popularity amongst American sports, I'd say it's past hockey.
Especially when you take in the week-in, week-out stuff. I mean, more people keep up with soccer weekly than they do with than I would say people do with hockey until the playoffs type of thing.
Plus, more kids are playing it, you know? You can't really...
It's more accessible in the South, obviously.
Yeah, you don't really play hockey down South. Kind of a northern thing. Canadian thing.
So we'll see what happens with the players and the owners, but I mean, this could spill over for years. And baseball, who, I mean, you can rank them however you want. You can say, ah, no, baseball's clear-cut number three. And, you know, for a lot of people, the people that love baseball, it's their number one. There are people out there who like baseball more than football. And
those
like
of us who
basketball.
Are purists.
There are people out there like that. And they might not leave. They'll be mad, but they'll come crawling back whenever baseball starts back up. But for the other people, you know, you saw this happen already. Like I said last week, you had to basically turn a blind eye, if not even encourage, Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and all these guys to get on steroids. And we, you know, started celebrating a home run chase that these guys were clearly on steroids. Like, you could clearly see that they had grown in size and that they were bigger than they should have been.
They'd just been in the gym a lot.
But we were okay with it because we needed excitement, and baseball turned a blind eye to it because they needed some goodwill.
Maybe we'll get back to that.
I don't know if they can. I don't know if you can just all of a sudden just pump everybody back up with steroids and hope that it works for the second time, because it worked for a little bit, but you know, baseball has been fighting an uphill battle since 94-95. Like, they had a spike where they got the national attention, but they have still been trying to climb back uphill to get back to where it's a conversation between basketball and football, where they are more so trying to chase number one and number two versus trying to hold off soccer and hockey and NASCAR and golf.
I think they should fall somewhere between trying to be as popular as basketball again and just staying ahead of the other sports. I think baseball should be comfortable with number three and just try to get close to basketball.
Sure.
Because you'll never top football.
And when baseball's hot, like when they have a story, they can beat basketball from time to time when they have a hot story. Like when the Cubs were there, like that's a hot story. If the Yankees get back on top, and you get Yankees Red Sox rivalries, like that could be a thing. Like the Dodgers Yankees would do
win
big
a World
numbers.
Series.
Right. Like you know, there's still an option for them there to be at least feel like number two when the timing is right. But you know, how is it going to look during this 2020? How is it going to look if these sides can't come to any type of agreement? I think you're going to have people turn on the players.
Well, you need a good negotiator, a guy that can kind of do multiple things, like play both sides. You know what I mean? Kind of a switch hitter, if you will, to negotiate between the owners. You kind of a middleman. That's what you need, I think. A guy
shortstop
who can represent.
Even.
Well, you could. I don't know if that works. I don't know if that really works here, but.
Cutoff man work better?
Cutoff man, yeah. Yeah. You need a guy
to go get the message from, you know, maybe the outfield to get into.
You need a guy that's respected. Home. It's a good businessman, but also he's a baseball man. You know.
No,
they
got to
have
no,
those.
I don't,
kind
I don't
of,
know.
Well, you know what I'm saying. Kind of a mediator. Kind of a mediator. It's what you need in any good negotiation, right? You see the Waco series, you know?
No, I didn't.
You had the David Koresh, you had those people.
I don't
think
that's
the
a good example of it working.
And then you had the FBI.
But that didn't work out.
Well, no, but there was this negotiator for the FBI who was kind of painted as a good guy.
Yeah, but it didn't seem like he accomplished his goal. Didn't Waco get completely disintegrated?
At the end of the day, it didn't work out. I'm just saying that was kind of what they were going for.
Right, but I don't know if I would use that as my example.
Yeah.
I don't think it worked out very well for the people of Waco.
That was kind of a fly ball on my part.
I don't feel like that works either. Pass ball, wild pitch.
A pop-up fly on my part.
You've already used.
I'm saying.
Maybe we're going off the pass ball.
What's it called?
Wild pitch.
I hit the ball there, but it was easily caught in the outfield.
Yeah. I mean, a pop-up
fly.
There, but I don't.
Yeah. Fly ball worked, I think. Basically saying I hit the ball, but it was caught. I didn't really complete the reference.
Okay.
I didn't hit the home run.
I personally would have gone with a wild pitch.
Yeah.
Like you threw the pitch, but it didn't go where you wanted it. Ended up in the dugout. It just hit off my catcher's knee and went all the way in the dugout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been too many words to try and – the thing with these references is you're supposed to just kind of boom, hit them quick.
Yeah.
And that way you can just knock the segment out of the park. which I feel like is what we've done here.
Players are upset about everything hitting Twitter, hitting the internet before the players are even finding out about it. Like, they're saying they're having to learn about all of these proposals from reporters tweeting it out, more so than like the owners contacting the players' union and having them put everything out. This has been a real issue of distrust among these players and owners. Right now, baseball could easily be back. They didn't have to deal with the issue of starting and restarting like basketball did. Basketball has to be a little bit more careful right now, as basketball has to have a plan to finish the season, right? They can they have a little bit more that they have to take care of, more so than baseball just saying, hey, let's start playing. We have spring training parks across everywhere. We have empty arenas, empty stadiums we could play at all over the place. Let's go do this now, and we'll have time to figure out the playoffs. We might even have fans in time for the playoffs. Who knows? We can kind of figure it out as we go. Let's just get to the All-Star break, whatever All-Star break we're going to have. Let's start playing, because we have a chance right now to be out in front of a bunch of eyeballs in America and try to gain ground on these sports we're chasing. But instead, baseball is balking.
I hope we can get something worked out soon. It's a sport that I've grown to really like. So, I'd like to see the boys play ball.
80 days after the league was shut down, the two sides are completely at odds. The owners are asking for major salary concessions without being willing to open their financial books, and the union leaders settled behind what might be an unsettled issue, depending on what the negotiated language says. The players want to see, like, hey, if you actually need us to take this pay cut, show us the books. Show us how you look financially. The owners all believe the players all believe that the owners are crying wolf when it comes to being poor and not being able to afford this. They look at it as a ploy to try to start moving things in their direction on this new CBA and trying to change the financial structure of baseball. It's going to be something to keep an eye on. As of right now, I don't know how you would feel confident that a season is going to get played. But we shall see. Because unlike basketball, unlike football, they can't play too deep into the year. Right? Like, you pretty much have a cutoff of November. You can play the World Series that first week if you need to, but you can't go much deeper than that.
It'd be interesting.
Maybe that would be something they have to do.
Some,
like,
guys
maybe they
playing in the snow.
Maybe they just take everything down to Florida or somewhere where it's not that cold up there. Maybe, but I feel
you could get it done in like Florida or California.
Maybe, but I feel like they have more of a deadline because they don't want to. Like, their season's already so long that it would be harder for them to move anything back the next year, right? In terms of keeping the sport on track.
Yeah.
Like, say you have fans in 2021, you don't want to push that too far back to where you are having to play outdoor games in October in a lot of these places.
Yeah, maybe you just don't play this year. Hope it doesn't come to that, but could be.
It's one of the biggest things going on right now in American sports. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. We talked some Tennessee football news earlier. We talked about Trey Curry and his commitment / deletion when it comes to Tennessee recruiting. We talked about Tim Jordan facing charges down in Florida. Official take there on that before we move on. Tim Jordan going to be internally disciplined, still on the team, dismissed. Do you have a guess on that?
I think he will be still on the team. Internal discipline.
Cam?
Yeah, I think we'll get suspended for a bit, but I think he'll still be on the team.
I'm going to go with dismissal. That's going to be my vote.
That's what you're hoping for?
Wouldn't surprise
me. No, that's not what I'm hoping for. I'm not hoping for that. I'm telling you that's my official prediction. I think that'll be, I don't want to say this in a bad way or anything, but Tennessee.
Oh, boy. Here he goes.
Tennessee has been looking for some scholarships, and I think that's an easy one to get back at this point. And I just
really, you don't think he's
I mean,
an important, like,
I don't know how important I would say he is, but I mean, I just think that it's a bad situation, and it's a decision that, you know, Jerome Pruitt will ultimately make.
Okay.
I just think gun charges and the scale and baggies make it make it an easy decision.
I'm just wondering if, like, with the current news, maybe you could not really slide it under the rug, but just like we were talking about earlier, we knew about it coming out of the weekend, but it wasn't a huge story because the news is just, there's so much going on.
I don't think anyone's sitting around to wait on what Jerome Pruitt does with Tim Jordan.
But right.
Like I said, I do think locally you'll have questions, and I do think that, again, this is just my prediction, not going off of anything I've heard or anything that I think, you know, or anything that is more so than just my thoughts. I do think that he will end up being dismissed. ESPN ranked the college football quarterback tiers. We've talked a lot about NFL quarterbacks. College quarterbacks got ranked on ESPN and put into tiers by David M. Hell. I don't know. But
ESPN?
Yeah.
I've heard of that guy.
Okay. He's asking, he's putting people in tiers. He's ranking them not so much one through whatever, but just saying these are where they are slated. He only has two guys as your can't-miss superstars. I think everyone knows who those guys would be. Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, right? Your can't-miss superstars. Your two Heisman frontrunners at this point. I've said all offseason that I feel like it is now Clemson versus Ohio State. Clemson, Ohio State versus the field is what I think the season turns into next year in terms of picking a winner. Agree or disagree?
I would probably agree with that right now.
And you're taking the field, or you're taking Clemson / Ohio State?
Oh, boy. That's a good proposition. I mean, that's why it is what you would say it is, you know, if you're going to take one or the other.
Yeah.
Pretty even proposition there. I'll take the field.
Take the field.
Maybe Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields are both overrated.
Perhaps. I mean,
I've thought that maybe those two guys, like, just looking at the quarterbacks last year, they would have ranked last to me in terms of the elite quarterbacks.
The thing is, though, I feel like they are on really, really good teams.
They are, yes. And they're above where other quarterbacks are.
Yeah.
But
there's a chance a quarterback comes out of nowhere, though, like Joe Burrow. And maybe doesn't have the same year Joe Burrow had because that's, you know, almost impossible to replicate.
I mean, that's just like Joe Burrow, Cam Newton.
It's not only that, but Joe Burrow had, you know, two elite wide receivers as well. Like,
yeah. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think there could be one that comes along that's maybe good enough to lift one of those other two teams, like a Alabama.
Well, the thing is, in the next tier two, just the elite players, there are six quarterbacks, and I'm going to read you these names, and I don't know who on this list would be one of those two lift a team when you see what teams are on. I mean, there might be one or two of these guys that make sense, but
Jamie Newman, huh?
Nope, not Jamie Newman. Tanner Morgan from Minnesota. BYU.
Yeah.
Another
Tanner Morgan sounds like a BYU player. In fairness,
Sam Howell.
Okay.
Sam Howell.
From?
I know where.
Sam Howell.
Yeah, I used to know this.
Sam Howell. I don't know where in the Sam Howell he plays.
North Carolina, right?
North Carolina. Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be so smart at
college
football.
Sounds like a school shooter.
What has happened to you?
Huh?
What has happened to you? You used to know so much about college football.
I don't write about it anymore.
You just not care anymore?
I care, but I don't write about it anymore.
Brock,
once you reach the age that is over college age, it just feels strange to me. Like
Iowa State.
Good job.
Who's
by
that,
you, Kim?
Brock Purdy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Derek King.
Yep. Apologies to Brock Purdy for saying he sounded like a school shooter. Houston is where he did
no
play.
Longer.
He probably plays somewhere else now. Hang on, I'll get it. Texas Tech.
Nailed it.
Okay, yes.
Miami.
Damn it.
Sam Ehlinger.
Texas.
Keaton Slovis.
USC.
So of those six.
It's a good finish.
Of those six, I can see Texas or USC rising up if the quarterback play is elite, although I don't think Sam Ellinger's elite. Slovis was pretty good. I don't know if I would consider him elite, but those, I mean, Minnesota's not going to be a national title contender, right? I mean, North Carolina, Iowa State, Miami.
They have a couple good receivers, but yeah, they're not going to be national title contention yeah. level.
Minnesota lost one of those guys to the draft, too.
They have another good one there.
And I think that Mr. Row the Boat's a pretty good coach. Like, I think mm-hmm. that they will be a factor, you know, winning games. They'll yeah. win 8 or 9 games at least, but not national title contenders, yeah. no matter how good Tanner Morgan yeah. is. Slovis and Ellinger have a little bit of a chance at Texas and USC just because I assume there's a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. At least at Texas. USC hasn't really recruited at that level, so maybe there's not talent there. They say Tier 3 is elite like Joe Flacco, which means probably good enough to win.
Do we think there's like a Flacco. Do we think there's a chance that Texas finally emerges
yeah,
this year?
No, there's a chance. I mean, for everything we've said about Tennessee versus Oklahoma, like there's a chance Texas could look and say, hey, Oklahoma's small up front, they don't have any receivers, and they're starting a new quarterback. This is their chance
Texas
to beat them.
Texas has the better quarterback, at least going into the year, as far as
yeah,
we know.
Yeah, Spencer Rattler might be someone with Lincoln Riley that, you know, is a beast from day one, but if Who? You're Texas, you're probably looking and saying, we got a good shot to, we should win the Big 12 this year.
Who are you taking right now to win the Big 12?
I don't have an answer to that. I hate Tom Herman. I don't
so
want to
Oklahoma?
Pick Texas. I don't know. Like, I mean, I just laid it out. Like, oh, Texas should feel good about their chances.
Well, who are you taking?
I don't have a pick right now. It's
just
June.
Curious.
I don't have a pick. It's June.
Off the top of your head.
TCU.
Brock Purdy in Iowa State.
Zach Evans going to go there and run through the league.
TCU. All right. I'm going to write that down. It's now on record. I'm going to take the field.
Elite like Joe Flacco, which I guess means they're good enough to win if you have the right team around them. This is where the SEC comes in heavy. Four of these five guys are SEC players. Kellen Mond, Jamie Newman, KJ Costello, Kyle Trask, Mikael Cunningham from Louisville is the fifth guy there.
Jamie Newman.
Tier four. Big shoes to fill. Basically just guys taking over for studs. Spencer Rattler, Bryce Young, Mac Jones, Jacob Sermon, Dylan Morris, Miles Brennan. Miles Brennan, LSU, Bryce Young, Alabama. Spencer Rattler, obviously Oklahoma. The other two were from Washington. Then they go into the non-Power 5 guys. They go into the game managers. They go into the up-and-comers. The wild cards. Where JT Daniels is listed. He is a wild card down at tier 8. And tier 9 is where we then see open competitions. And that's where Jarrett Garantano is listed alongside Brian Maurer, which I don't know. I don't know how much research they've done here. Like I don't know how you guys feel. I don't feel like it's an open competition between Jarrett Garantano and Brian Maurer. Do you?
Yeah, not Brian
no.
Maurer.
I think that Garantano's pretty much the starter going into the year.
Well, what tier would you have put him in then? Managers, maybe?
Game managers.
I guess, yeah.
I'd almost put him as a damn wild card. Like, yeah. You don't know what we're getting.
Yeah, that might be better because that's a lower tier. I'd say, yeah, put him as a wild card. But I think he's the starter going into the year.
Bruce Cannon.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it's an open competition between him and Brian Maurer.
Well, you got to realize, too, the fact that Harrison Bailey hasn't had a spring.
Yeah.
Like, I think.
I don't even know if I feel like it's an open competition between him and Harrison Bailey. Like, I feel
I don't
like,
either.
I feel like Garantano is going to be the starter game one. Now, whether or not that's a good or bad thing, you know, you guys can argue about that amongst yourselves. I don't know right now.
I think it is the truth, though. Like, it is what's going to happen.
Right.
He's going to be your starter. You know, whether or not it works out, that remains to be seen. But he's the guy.
The quarterbacks who win the jobs at Michigan, Wisconsin, and Tennessee will inherit serious expectations and serious doubts. There's lots of upside at each program, but they'll all need dramatically improved quarterback play in 2020 to break through. I do feel like that's accurate. Hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three with headlines. We'll play some winners and losers of the weekend. Let's talk sports. Fan Run Radio.
Your pet